Hallelujah.
Are you glad you're here? I can't see you at the back, but I believe there are people at the back. And I can only see people in the front row. But I hope you've come here this morning excited, ignited, and delighted to be in the house of God. Is that you? I want to encourage you, please be vocal through the sermon. If you think I've said something great, say amen. If I say something funny, please laugh. I've put some people in the church to laugh to make me feel good, because it's terrible being a communicator and a preacher and nobody responds. It's like speaking to a bunch of robots. But I believe that you are alive this morning. Amen? Are you excited to be here? And I want to... Let me just quickly tell you a bit about myself. My wife and I are originally from Cape Town, South Africa, and we church planted in New Zealand 27 years ago. And we've built an incredible church by the grace of God, and we have close to 36 different cultures in our church family. We are truly, truly blessed. But I want to introduce you to my family, and they will put the picture up on the screen. We have three adult children, all married, and my daughter on the top left, she married a Samoan and has four children. My son at the bottom here is our second born. He married a South African girl, and they've got three wonderful kids and adopted two little black children that are very close to our heart. And then my son on the top right, he married a girl from London. And they have three children. And my son actually preached at Every Nation Christchurch this morning. And so all my kids, we're really blessed. All of them love God, serve God, involved in the churches. My daughter's actually a pastor and our worship leader at Every Nation Christchurch. And we just love our grandchildren. We've got 10. And if there are any grandparents in the house, say hey. How many of you know when you have grandchildren, it's expensive? It's 10 more birthdays. It's 10 more gifts at Christmas time. And that's why I keep preaching and keep earning, because we have to fund and bless our grandchildren. There's something about being a grandparent. I often say to people, if I knew what it was like to be I call myself Opa, I would have had my grandchildren first, because they're just a tremendous blessing to us. And so we are on our way to the World Conference next week in Manila. My daughter and her family are already in Manila, and we're really looking forward to be part of our global family. This year, I have decided every time I preach, I'm going to share a funny story. And so can I ask you to laugh? If you don't understand, just laugh. And then go home and ask your friend, what was that about? Or watch the podcast again. Maybe you'll get it the second time. Because I really believe we need to laugh as people. Amen? All right, here we go. I'm priming you for the moment to laugh. A mother invited some people to dinner, and at the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say a blessing?" The little girl replied, "I wouldn't know what to say." The mother said, "Just say what you hear mommy say." The daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" There was a lady that went to visit a doctor. She had two red ears and she was in pain. And the doctor asked her what happened to her ears. And she said, "Well, I was ironing a shirt. The phone rang. And instead of picking up the phone, I put the iron to my ear." The doctor said, "Oh my goodness. But what happened to the other ear?" She said, "The idiot called back." You know, I want to encourage you. My challenge to our church in New Zealand is to always bring your Bible to church and to take notes in church. So how many of you have got your physical Bible here this morning? Lord, I pray deliverance on the house. Lord, I pray more than Victory Weekend, Lord, that there's something about bringing a physical Bible to church. That's my challenge to you. But don't say to me, well, Pastor, I have my Bible on my phone. The problem is the temptation when you have your phone is that you go to something called Facebook and you update your status. And then you speak to people on Facebook instead of reading the Bible and taking notes. So I want to encourage you. You can photograph the slides. You can photograph me. There's no charge. And we're going to have a great time this morning. Amen. We're continuing the series that your church has been involved in called From Within. And today I'm going to be looking at a very important and serious topic that I really believe impacts every one of our lives. And it's I'm going to be speaking on pride and foolishness. Come on, let's be honest with one another. How many of you have ever been prideful? Now, if you didn't put up your hand, I have a problem with that. Because you've just shown me you have been prideful. I really believe we all have a tendency to be prideful and sometimes to be foolish. Let me explain to you what pride really means. It means an excessive view of oneself, thinking you are better than others or not needing help. That's really in its simplistic view of pride. Foolishness often means rejecting God's wisdom and choosing the wrong path. Any of you have chosen the wrong path before? Right, thank you for being honest. So I really believe that this word this morning is for you. And I'm going to share, I'm going to be real, I'm going to teach from God's word. And then right at the end, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have a time of ministry. Is that okay? Look, I won't keep you here till three. So don't worry, it'll be four. But I'm going to ask you to respond to God's word this morning. I prayed this morning that the Holy Spirit will hover over your heart and your mind this morning, that this morning would truly be life-changing for you. Just because you're here doesn't mean that everything is perfect with you. But I believe Holy Spirit, when you encounter the power and the presence of God, He brings a change to our lives. And I'm trusting God that something I say is going to resonate that will bring change to you, and that you will respond to our time of ministry at the end. Amen? So my title in this whole series of pride and foolishness is about promoted by God, undone by pride. And so we're going to go and look at 2 Chronicles, and we're going to read the story of King Uzziah. And I want you to have a look, and I've put up some points on the screen that as I read the text, and it's important to read the Bible, and so I'm going to be reading God's word this morning, but as I read, I want you to think of this guy. He was made king at the age of 16. I mean, what a position that was entrusted to this young person at the age of 16. As I read, I want you to try and follow a pattern of him being obedient to God. Success comes, promotion comes. The promotion and success goes to his head. He then becomes prideful, and then he begins to run in another lane that was not ordained by God because of his pride, then led to his destruction. And that pattern, if it happened to King Uzziah, it can happen to you and I. Very simple. Because sometimes we go on our journey and we do the right things, we love God, we're obedient, and all of a sudden we get promoted, success comes, and all of a sudden we are elevated and put on a pedestal, and it's only a matter of time when pride creeps into our heart and opens us up for destruction. So let's go to God's word. If you've got, okay, you haven't got your Bible here, but the verses will be up on the screen. Is that okay? Say, God is good all the time. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to be reading about 21 verses, and I want you to just follow and try and pick up the pattern that we see in Scripture. It says the following in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king and reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines, broke down the walls of Gath, Jabna, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gerbaal and against the Mennonites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and the valley gate and the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness, dug many cisterns because he had much livestock. In other words, he became successful. There was great success in what he was doing. Verse 11, Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers. So here he accumulated this massive army and became very powerful because of his success. Verse 12, a total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under the command was an army of 307,000 trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, slingshots for the entire army. I mean, we just keep reading. There was just so much success of what he had achieved. Verse 16, but all the success, all this fame, and everything that he was doing, but. And I believe that sometimes in life, there's a but that comes across our lives. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest of, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah. It's not right that you as Uzziah burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary. You have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord your God. Uzziah had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in the presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted on him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. One more verse, Mark chapter 7, verse 20. He went on and it says, what comes out of the person is what defiles them. What a tragic story. What a tragic story. You see, when we look at this particular scripture, King Uzziah's tragedy did not begin in the temple. It began in his heart. Did not begin in the temple. It began in his heart. It wasn't a suddenly moment that he thought, well, I'm now this superhero. I'm this king. I'm all powerful. And guess what? I can do anything I want to do. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go into the temple. And here we see that something must have cultivated in his heart over a period of time that got him to the point where I can do anything I want to do. You see, friends, what happens inside of you is very, very important. I want you to look to the person on either side. On the one side, look at them with loving eyes. Do you have any idea what is happening inside of them? No. Look at the person on the other side of you. Now, some of you are not doing it. You are just being prideful in this moment. You see, you have no idea what's happening in my heart. And with the king, as he was journeying through life, something must have been happening internally that was cultivating. And as he grew in stature and in power and with authority, he began to realize, I don't have to just do what I'm doing, I can do something else. You see, pride isn't loud first. It whispers permission before it shouts rebellion. Pride always happens internally. There's a saying that I'm sure you know here in Malaysia. It's the last straw that breaks the camel's back. It's really not true. It's the accumulation of straws that breaks the camel's back. And so he didn't just decide in that moment, hey, I'm going to be prideful. It was happening over a period of time. You see, spiritual longevity, friends, is guarding your inner life. You see, we all have a private life and we all have a public life. What are you doing in your private life? What is happening internally? Because you can display something to people that you are holy and amazing. I turned around during worship. I saw people with their hands up. You know, it looks amazing outwardly, but I have no idea what's happening internally. I have no idea here this morning how many of you are struggling internally. How many of you are facing challenges, mountains you're climbing, valleys that you have to cross. Because it's all internally. And outwardly, we can put on some nice clothes and ladies can paint their face like Picasso and you can look amazing, but you have no idea what's happening internally. Do you understand what I'm saying? Got a few points that I want to share with you. You see, success is a gift. Pride is a choice. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5 says, and this is key, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. How many of you want to be successful this morning? Now, some of you are not putting up your hands. The opposite of that is to be unsuccessful. Okay, let me ask you again. How many of you want to be successful? Thank you. Hallelujah. This microphone's working. What is the key? It says here, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. You want to be successful in the world that you and I live in? I want to encourage you, always seek God. Never seek yourself. You have to seek God. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the Bible says, as long as he sought God, he was successful. Is God first in all your decision making? If you're looking for a husband or a wife, do you seek God? Or do you just take the first person who's got pants on? Or do you seek God? God, is this the right person? If you're looking for a career, do you seek God? You're trusting God for children, do you seek God? As long as you seek God, I believe that we will all step into the realm of being successful. And remember, success here is not dollars in the bank. It could mean that God blesses you. But success for me is healthy relationships, great friendships, divine health. And of course, we all want a few dollars or ringgits in the bank. Huh? Is that your currency here? Okay. But here we see in verse 16, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful. You see, pride is not triggered by weakness. It's triggered by strength without dependence. I want to encourage you. We all need to depend on God. We all need to lean on God in everything. Do not be selective in what you believe and what you embrace as a person. You see, a lot of people today is that they have the Holy Bible, but they select passages of Scripture that they want to believe in. And what happens? I don't like this, so they tear it out and throw it away. Tithes and offerings, no, I don't like that. I tear it out and throw away. I need to forgive those who persecute me. Oh, no, I don't like that. I throw it away. And what happens? We keep tearing out of the Bible, and then we're just left with the book of maps. And you cannot live by maps alone. It's the truth of God's word that will set you free. And so you have to acknowledge God in everything. You see, regularly acknowledge God as your source. Do you regularly acknowledge God as your source? New Zealand, in our country that we live, it's a welfare state. So you don't work, the government give you money to live off. You know, you can have a baby outside of wedlock and the government will give you money to look after the baby. And so you don't have to work. And so they don't have Jehovah Jireh. They have the government as their provider. But in other countries, you have to trust God. Do you trust God as your source in everything? Do not be selective. I want to encourage you. This is our moment in time of history. Let's change the way we live and let's make sure that God is our source of everything. He is our strength. He gives us strength. He gives us joy. When we are full of the Spirit of God, we should see the fruit of the Spirit being evident in our lives. Amen? Thank you. I like you. Come to my next service where I'm preaching. All right, have a heart of gratitude and surrender. When last have you thanked God for something? When you pray, when you have a meal. By the way, the meals in Malaysia are amazing. Oh my goodness, I'm sure I'm going to put on weight being here. But when you have, amen. But before I eat, I always pray, Lord God, bind the calories in Jesus' name. Do not let it affect my body or grow my stomach in Jesus' name. But are you thankful for the food you eat? Are you thankful for your husband or your wife or your children? You see, we have to have a heart of gratitude. We have to have a heart of thanks. You see, success tests humility more than failure does. When you're successful, do people elevate you? Do you change if you're doing well financially? Do you change when you now become CEO of a company? Do you change? Or do you have a posture of humility? I remember when we first started our church, we had a few people that were very, very well educated, but they were just so prideful, they would not pack our churches in our facility. Sorry, they would not pack our chairs in our facility. No, that's too low for me. Friends, I want to say to you, regardless of who you are, if you're a CEO, a multimillionaire, or a cleaner, or a sparky, or a builder, in the kingdom of God, we are all equal and we all one. A CEO can be an usher. If you are an electrician, you could lead worship. It's not based on status. It's based on humility and your ability to serve. Because I'm a pastor for over 30 years, that doesn't mean I can't carry a chair and put it out. Because we pastors doesn't mean I can only mix with pastors. No, no, my wife and I, we smell like sheep. Come close to me afterwards, I'll give you a hug. I smell like sheep. Because we love people. And we love all people, regardless of your status and who you are. My next point, crossing God-given boundaries always begins internally. What happened to Uzziah? Uzziah entered the temple to burn incense, a role that was just reserved for the priests. You see, before Uzziah crossed the line physically, he crossed it mentally and spiritually. He decided well beforehand what he was going to do. So in mentally and spiritually, he crossed the line. I'm sure he asked questions like, I've done enough. I deserve to take this role as a priest as well. Surely these rules don't apply to me. You see, friends, we have to know the lane you and I are running in. Do you know the lane? Now, let me use this as an example. Would you come to me that I can do open heart surgery on you? I'll just get a saw, a hammer. I'll get some bolts from my garage. How many of you would come? I'm disappointed. But you wouldn't come because you know what? I'm not running in my lane. My lane is spiritual. My lane is my calling. My lane is the gifting that God has graced me with as a preacher, as a communicator. That's my lane. Do you want me to lead worship? Please say no. Because I'll empty out the house. Because I can only make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So know your lane. What has God called you to do? Uzziah was supposed to be king, and he's supposed to be looking after the people. But what he did, we tried to take on a priestly role where he shouldn't have taken on that priestly role. I want to encourage you, know your calling. Know your constraints. You see, you need to know your calling is from God. Know the lane you're running in. Don't react to correction. Respond in God's way. Come on, let's be honest. We're in church. How many of you love correction? Nobody. Can I encourage you? I am so blessed. I walk with people that are honest and speak straight to me, besides my wife. My wife's other name is Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit through my wife can convict me on things. But let me tell you this, if you're the only one telling yourself the truth, you are deceived. Who's telling you the truth? Because you and I can always justify something and do something, and we can quote scripture out of context, and then you believe it, and then you start living it, and then you realize, why is my life turning out the way it is? It's because you're the only one telling yourself the truth. I'm blessed by our church family because I have men coming to me to say, Pastor Bernard, please journey with me, but be open and honest and speak straight. In my marriage, speak straight. If you see things, notice things, please speak straight, because they trust me, they trust the wisdom God's given to me, and that I can speak straight, because my heart is that I want them to walk in blessing and favor. But if you're the only one telling yourself the truth, something's not right. Who's going to tell you you've got broccoli in your teeth? If you come to church and you smile and there's broccoli and chicken and some scales from the fish last night, and who's going to say to you, oh, please go to the bathroom and have a look? We all need those people in our lives. And that's why life group is so important, where people can journey with you, encourage you, point out our blind spots. How many of you got blind spots? You see, why do you know you have a blind spot? Somebody's told you. Or are you just saying it in faith, I've got a blind spot, but you have no idea what it is? We need people in our lives to journey with us. By the way, this time is not working. It tells me I've still got an hour left. So I'm just going by what's written here. Thank you, Jesus. Know your calling. You see, an unguarded heart will always justify what God never authorized. A lot of people adopt the attitude of me, myself, and I, and they think they're the Holy Trinity. I want to encourage you, posture your heart in humility. Posture your heart, invite people into your lives so that you can deal with pride. You can deal about being unfaithful, because the heart, I know the heart of this church family is that they want to see you walk in blessing, walk in favor, walk in success. But you know what? Also, we also go through tough seasons. I'll quickly tell you about one tough season that my wife and I went through when we first got married. Medically, they told her that she will never have children. But because we didn't do things alone, we had people around us who encouraged us, stood with us, prayed for us, and the miracle is that God blessed us with 3 children. But I praise God for people who spoke truth, who spoke life, who spoke faith in our lives. You see, pride resists correction. Humility receives mercy. Prideful people will never accept correction. It's like, don't tell me what to do. If your pastors tell you here today, you know, at 11 o'clock, there were only 50% capacity. And by 11:15, you were all here. And the pastor says, I want to encourage you guys, come on time. How would you receive that? The prideful people will say, don't tell me what to do. The humble people will say, isn't that an amazing challenge from our pastors to come on time, because the ark will close at 11 o'clock. You see, we all deal with situations very differently. When we keep our heart humble, we become teachable in what God wants to do in our lives. You can say amen to that. Yeah, we see priests confronting Uzziah. Uzziah became furious. You see, pride turns correction into offense. Humility turns correction into protection. Treat correction as a gift, not a threat. You see, the priests courageously confronts Uzziah. He becomes furious. You see, how you respond to correction reveal who's ruling your heart. What's ruling your heart this morning? Is it pride? Or is it humility? How we know is when you receive correction. And what comes out of your mouth? Is it pride or is it humility? Our posture must always be humble. The devil wants you to be prideful. God wants you to be humble at all times. You have to fight it. You know, I have to fight pride. Did you know that? I have to fight pride just like you. I have to keep being humble. I have to keep submitting to God. I have to keep submitting to His Lordship. But sometimes pride wants to come forward and I've got to push it down and keep being humble. I'm normal just like you. But we have to fight it. If we want all that God has for us, we have to be humble. Amen? Amen. Lastly, private heart conditions produces public consequences. You see, leprosy came upon Uzziah's forehead. It was a place of visibility and identity. What was hidden in the heart became visible on the body. Pride does not affect the individual. It affects your legacy, your family, your community. I want to say to you, your pride will affect your relationships with people. We are so blessed that all three of our children love God, serve God today. Other people do not have that testimony. But we have to keep posturing our heart by the grace of God, that we have to keep being humble, keep serving God with that humble spirit, the humble heart. You see, because your pridefulness and your prideful heart will impact your wife and your husband, your children, and generations to come. You make a mistake today, it impacts generations. I want to encourage you, don't just think the now. When you're trying to make a decision, be it an investment decision or this decision or that decision, go before God. Ask counsel from people that you trust that you can make sure you make wise decisions and choices, because your decisions and choices have generational impact. Amen? Leprosy appeared. You see, God will protect His holiness, but longs to restore the humble. You see, friends, Uzziah's downfall was not a lack of anointing. It was lack of humility. Not a lack of calling, but failure to guard his heart. Jesus' words echo through the story. What comes out of a person defiles them. Let me close, and I'm going to ask the band. The band's here. We close with 3 points, just to be practical. Guard your heart more than your reputation. Come on, everybody wants reputation. As a young preacher, I wanted to be known to preach in front of thousands of people. Have my name in lights, you know, Pastor Bernard, evangelist here in the city. And God had to deal with my heart. You know what? If God puts me in front of 3 people to preach, I will preach with the same passion that I'm preaching in front of this crowd. Same passion, same energy, same preparation. It's not about numbers for me today. It's about, can God use me to touch someone's life? That's what it's about. Guard your heart. Guard your heart every single day. Protect your dependence on God more than your position. Are you truly dependent on God, or you want a title? position is more important to you. I want to encourage you. Make sure you depend on God in everything. Spiritually, materially, financially, relationally, depend on God. Protect what God has entrusted to you. Lastly, choose humility daily before strength turns into a snare. Remember, pride is an inside job. It's within. This is where it happens. Amen.